listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, because of renewed calls for gun control after recent mass shootings in Las Vegas, Texas, and Northern California, I wanted to discuss the policies gun control advocates suggest, what current gun law says, and some of the information that's floated out there by gun control proponents. While I write about the Second Amendment, it isn't my natural wheelhouse, but for Pat Nicholas, it is. Pat is a regular contributor to CaffeinatedThoughts.com. She was formerly an election volunteer coordinator with National Rifle Association. She has also served on the board of directors for gun rights across America. And earlier this week, we had a conversation about the issue. But before we get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, editor of Caffeinated Thoughts. Should something, heaven forbid, happen to you, will your family be ready? One of the most important things you can do for your family is to make sure they are provided for after you're gone. Whether you are currently without life insurance or you're not happy with your current plan, Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America can help. Give Travis a call at 515-883-0029. That's 515-883-0029. Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you find the life insurance you need.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back. This is Shane Vanderhart. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Pat Nicholas about the current gun control debate. Okay, Pat, you are our resident gun expert at CaffeinatedThoughts.com.
Yep.
So I have experience, and there's been a couple other contributors that I think have carry permits, but and my experience has been mainly with the military. But, you know, you're the one who's really – this has been an issue that you've championed for, you know, probably most of
a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
So – you know, these mass shootings happen, and here it seems like, you know, we've had three of them, bam, 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 it seems like, happen. We had Las Vegas, where 58 people died, and over 500 were wounded. We had the church shooting in Texas, where 26 people died, and I think about 24 people were wounded. And then in Northern California, last time I checked, it was like seven. Mm-hmm. I think people died. I'm not sure if they're what the wounded count on that, but obviously these things, and we've seen since Sandy Hook, these they snowball into a wave of protest, and then, you know, but nothing seems to be done on this, and it seems like they just say we need to do something, but they never really specify what that is, right?
What something is, yeah. Right. And they also tend to call for a national debate on gun control. And I agree 100% that there needs to be a national debate on gun control, but I have to know what the do something is before I can have an intelligent debate.
Right. Well, the one thing I, you know, we saw after Las Vegas is bump stocks. We need to get rid of bump stocks. First of all, for our listeners, could you just explain what a bump stock is?
Yeah, a bump stock, so you've got the normal stock on a gun, okay? What a bump stock does is it kind of bounces off of the shoulder when you depress the trigger.
Okay.
So it's still, even on a rifle equipped with a bump stock, it's still expelling one round per trigger pull.
Right.
It's just, it helps to increase the rate of fire, is what a bump stock does.
Here's
it's a range toy.
Okay, well, because having been in the army, automatic, unless you're trying to lay down suppressing fire, automatic fire is kind of a waste of ammo.
Exactly.
So I never really understood why anybody would really want that unless you're in a combat situation
Yeah,
and you need to
it's
lay
a
down
ranged way.
suppressing fire, because it's not accurate.
It's a good way to mess up your barrel. You know, it's a good way to burn through, a lot of money in ammo very quickly. Hundreds of thousands of them have been sold since they were first approved by the ATF. And we didn't have a single incident with them up until Las Vegas. So I think that's why the bump stock legislation, if you go to GovTrack or trackus.gov or whatever,
It's GovTrack, yeah.
you can see 149 firearm bills have been proposed in 2017. The prognosis on the bump stock ban is only 12% right now. So
See,
it,
I was anticipating, kind of a groundswell of support for that, even among Republicans, because it seemed like, well, we can do something. Or there were talks like, well, maybe we can do this in the form of a deal. We restrict this, but you allow suppressors.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anybody who thinks Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer is going to give, on other gun rights legislation merely because we give them bump stocks, that's fantasy land. That's not going to happen.
Okay. Is there a legitimate use for bump stock other than just, a range toy?
In my mind, I would never own one.
Okay.
Legitimate use? No, probably not. But is there a legitimate use for Tannerite? It's a range toy. It's legal.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking, maybe there was somebody who perhaps, I don't know, had grip strength issues
It
or.
was, yeah, it was originally intended for people that had limited hand mobility.
Okay, I'm just trying to
So,
figure out why they invented it because it just seems like
right.
a waste.
Right. Now, how often it's used for that, I'm not sure. I don't have those statistics, but that was its original intent.
Okay, so then we see. Okay, let's bring back the ban on assault weapons. Thoughts on that?
Okay.
What
More
is an
than
assault
anti-gun.
weapon, first of all?
Yeah,
What did that actually ban?
it doesn't, the term assault weapon wasn't even part of the American lexicon until the 1994 Clinton assault weapons ban. And when they invented that term, they had to invent a definition to go with it. So what they decided upon was it was any semi-automatic rifle or gun, firearm that shared two or more cosmetic features with their fully automatic counterparts. So, a collapsible stock, a flash hider, a pistol grip. That's what they deemed made, a rifle an assault weapon. So cosmetic features that really have no bearing on the lethality of a weapon.
So basically, we're going to ban things that look scary.
Yeah. It's kind of like saying, with the two or more accessories rule on assault weapons, it's kind of like saying if you put a gown and a tiara on me, it automatically makes me a princess. It just doesn't happen that way, So yeah, and the term died technically when the sunset clause kicked in on the Clinton assault weapons ban. So that ban died in 2004. And so did the term. Although people do continue to use it, the definition of an assault weapon is just, a semi-automatic rifle that shares cosmetic features with its fully automatic counterpart.
Well, and then I've heard some people say, hey, we need to just get rid of semi-automatic weapons.
Those people don't know what they're talking about. If
That's
all a semi-automatic weapon is a firearm that expels one round per trigger pull.
right. Well, I'm thinking, that's pretty much every gun other than,
Right.
a musket or a flintlock or a shotgun or,
Yeah. Well, that
what
would even eliminate dual action revolvers.
So yeah, it's like, well, I'm sure, yeah, if you're really, really anti-gun, I'm sure you'd love that, but that's not going to happen. Another thing too, we see is oh, we need to limit how, why do they need to have 20, 30 round magazines? Why can't we just limit it, or not magazines, clips? No, magazines. I get those two mixed up. Yeah. you know, what's wrong with having fewer rounds in a magazine?
Well, what's wrong with having a smaller gas tank in your vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say you have a couple of errands to run,
mm-hmm.
you don't put in just enough gas to run those errands. If you fill up the entire tank, you don't drive around, you know, until the tank's empty. You know, just because I have a 30-round magazine doesn't mean I'm going to use all 30 rounds at once.
Right.
I may, if I'm target hunt, you know, shooting.
Yeah.
You know, so really magazine capacity, especially when you couple that with how quickly you can change out a magazine.
Yeah.
You know, that can be done in 2 seconds. You know, it's push a button, let the old magazine fall to the ground, put the new one in. So right. the difference between a 30-round magazine and 3 10-round magazines is, what, 4 seconds?
Pretty much. Yeah, because, you know, when I was firing M16, it never really took me long to reload.
Right.
So, and I wasn't, you know, necessarily, you know, the fastest at doing it. It just, yeah, it doesn't really slow you down a whole lot. You might just have to carry more magazines, I guess, you know, or they would jimmy rig something where they tape them together. I don't even know how much more time that would save you, but it just seems like, again, it would be it would restrict a law-abiding citizen who maybe wants to have you know, more ammo in the magazine of, say, a handgun. Because I'm thinking, mm-hmm. too, you know, a lot of people who are not familiar with, you know, firing a weapon of any type, whether it's a semi-auto rifle or a handgun, they don't realize it's one thing to shoot at a target. It's quite another when you're shooting at a human being and your adrenaline's, you know, going and you're not quite as accurate as TV exactly. shows, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not as seen on TV. That's for sure. You know, and there's some handguns out there that hold 17 rounds.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I never really understood what makes 10 rounds safe, but that 11th round, boy, that one's dangerous.
Hmm.
You know, I understand where the gun control advocates are coming from. It is horrifying to watch children get shot, you know, to hear about people in a church and their house of worship being shot. It pulls at the heartstrings. I get the emotional response, you know, but
yeah.
Tossing out feel-good legislation that's unenforceable and does nothing to stop the criminal isn't the answer.
Yeah, speaking of legislation or laws that are actually on the books, I mean, there were laws, if actually implemented correctly, that could have possibly prevented some of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That happened recently.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sutherland Baptist Church shooting, you know, that shooter was a mental hospital escapee.
Yeah.
He was a convicted domestic abuser. And, you know, because of an Air Force clerical error,
mm-hmm.
not reporting him to the FBI, to the next background check system, you know, he was able to legally purchase firearms. You know, on the other two, there's really not a whole lot we could have done. On the Vegas shooter, he passed all those background checks.
Right.
He purchased his guns legally. On the California shooter, he was a special kind of crazy.
Yeah. And well, he didn't have a permit to carry, so he was illegal.
Right, exactly. He manufactured illegal weapons in his home to commit, you know, his crime.
Oh, that's nice. That's a whole new level of actually manufacturing.
Right.
Wow. Background checks. I mean, some people want to expand. You know, first of all, let's go through the process of what's actually, say, in Iowa, and you know, you can even talk about your experience in Missouri. What does somebody have to do to go forward to purchase a weapon? To get their carry permit. So I think, you know, are there any loopholes around any of this? I think there's some misinformation floating around there when it comes to this topic that I don't think a lot of people realize it's as rigorous as it actually is.
Yeah, and it really is. In Missouri, where I live now, you know, I consider myself an Iowa girl. I lived there from 1972 to 2016. In Missouri, a permit to carry is not required.
Okay.
So, you know, let's talk about
I forgot you guys had constitutional carry.
yeah, well, now there's a difference,
There is a
okay?
difference.
There's, yeah, it's permitless carry.
Okay.
So there are still places off limits where you just can't bring a firearm, period.
Okay. I didn't. I just assumed that was the same and even with
Yeah, a lot of people do.
carry states. Okay.
Constitutional carry is like no rules.
No rules.
There's
Okay.
very
All
few
right.
states that are constitutional carry. So most are permitless carry. The two terms get used interchangeably,
Okay.
unfortunately. But you know, in Iowa, you know, there's a certain amount of safety training that has to be achieved. First, there is no range training requirement in Iowa. That's the beauty of the 10th Amendment. Some states have it, some states don't. It's a pretty rigorous process as far as the 4473 goes. If you know, well, first you have to get the permit from your local sheriff. You know, you go in there, you're filling out a lengthy form, answering a lot of personal questions, you know, waiting a few days, photo ID, plunking down a fee for it. I believe it's $60 in Iowa for the plastic card. I'm not sure. You know, and then when you go to purchase a firearm, you're filling out a 4473. That's asking you a lot of questions. Are you the original purchaser of this firearm? Have you ever been mentally adjudicated? You know, have you been dishonorably discharged from the military? You know, are you a convicted felon? It's a long list of questions. You know, so then you're either going to get approved, you're going to get denied, or it's going to be delayed.
Yeah, in Iowa, obviously, it used to, we went from may permit to shall permit unless there's nothing, unless the sheriff sees something in the background check that would disqualify somebody for from carrying.
Right.
So
And
that's
that's as
not,
it should be.
yeah, because before it used to be, it was subjective.
Right.
Some counties were it was easier to get a permit than other counties. So that's one change that the legislature made. That certainly we've seen. Gun permit holders obviously skyrocket. Not because I think people suddenly became gun crazy. I just think you had a bunch of people that wanted to have a carry permit but were never able to have one before.
Right. Exactly. You know, and a lot of gun control advocates will say, well, it's really easy to lie on a 4473. Yes, it's easy to lie, but it's a felony.
Right.
It's punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Okay, so that's one law that I think, you know, here's one solution. If a gun control advocate wants to have a conversation with me about this, here's one solution I would propose. You know, we start enforcing that law. If you walked into Shields right now and you shoplifted a $15 shirt,
Yeah.
you would be surrounded, you would be charged with shoplifting, and you would probably spend time in jail. You know, if you walk into Shields and you falsify a 4473 to buy a firearm and it comes back delayed, they're just going to say, hey, you know, sorry, it was, or not delayed, but denied. They're just going to say, hey, sorry, you were denied, and you're on your merry way.
Yeah. Well, instead, maybe there needs to be follow-up action on it.
Yeah, there needs to be some follow-up on that.
It's like, why do you apply for this when you answered negatively to all these questions when obviously that's not the case or you wouldn't have been denied.
Exactly. There were 556,000 denied transactions between 2008 and 2015. And federal prosecutors prosecuted an average of only 32 cases a year.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does seem like a common sense thing they could do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more of a matter of resources. Why that doesn't get done is maybe lower on the priority list, but perhaps should be higher if they're really serious about wanting to do something.
Yeah, you know, let's enforce the laws we already have on the books.
Definitely. So yeah, I keep on hearing, hey, gun show loophole. There's a gun show loophole. Is there a gun show loophole?
There is no gun show loophole. It's a
Okay.
myth.
All right.
Yeah. You know, I invite you. You know, there's some really good gun shows in the Des Moines area. I love the one down at the fairgrounds. I challenge you to walk in there, walk up to any dealer and say, hey, I want that gun and I don't want to do a background check.
Yeah. First of all, it's
Yeah.
like, what do you want this for?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. What people are referring to with the gun show loophole when they use those words is you'll have, you know, private citizens like you and me, you know, that are selling, you know, their collections. You know, and under U.S. code, you or me selling a gun or selling our collections, we don't fit the category of in the business of selling firearms. Okay. We are not dealers. You know, so just be like if you sold a shotgun to your brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there is no gun show loophole. It's a private sale.
Okay. So should private sales, I mean, somebody might say, hey, if you do a private sale, shouldn't you be required to do a background check?
How do you enforce that?
Very true.
How do you compel, you know, two criminals, one of them wanting to trade a rock a crack for a 9mm?
Mm-hmm.
How do you compel them to go get a background check for that transaction?
Good question. Good question.
And those are the people that we're worried about.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do is try and stop gun crime. You know, do people want to give me, if they want me to do a background check on you, are they going to give me access to the NICS background check system like dealers have?
Yeah, probably.
Am I going to have access to everybody's social security number, you know, and all of their sensitive information? No. Right. It's just, it's an unenforceable suggestion.
Okay. We keep on hearing about the, you know, gun death rates. Unfortunately, I meant to pull up some numbers in front of me, and I don't have them. Do you happen to know, off the top of your head, the more recent number?
I know roughly.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, so, I didn't pull them up either. I should have been more prepared. So, per the latest FBI statistics, now we're talking gun murder rate here.
Right.
Okay. Per the FBI statistics, I believe it was 9,100 in 2015.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot. It is a lot. You know, 9,100 people murdered with a firearm. Uh-huh. That's 9,100 lives taken. But that needs to be put into perspective, too. There's an estimated 120 million gun owners in this country. There's an estimated 350 million firearms, privately held firearms in this country.
Right.
So when you figure 9,100 gun murders contrasted with 350 million firearms, that's a gun murder rate of roughly 0.0085% per gun owned in this country.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking of the nationwide homicide rate in the United States in 2016 was 5.3 per 100,000, but that includes not just guns, but any form of
everything.
Homicide.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of brings us back to the assault weapon thing, too. You know, if you look at those same FBI statistics, I believe it was 238 gun deaths from all rifles combined, not just the scary black ones.
Okay.
All rifles. Stabbings were five times more, over 1,200.
Yeah. We need knife control. You know, and you know, the recent in New York City, you know, there's a guy hit people with his truck. We need truck control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't think people, they don't, common sense seems to fly out the window. You know, one thing too, I was looking at a Mises Institute article that I saw earlier this month. It says there's no such thing as an American homicide rate. He said basically you need to break it down by state because, you know, we're a large country, and comparing our homicide rate to other countries, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't quite compute because some regions of our nation has higher homicide rate than others. And it's kind of interesting. They put up a chart comparing our states and Canadian provinces.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana had the highest murder rate, 11.8%. Guess what the number two province or state was?
What?
It was Northwest Territories.
No and way.
Yeah.
11, wow.
11.3. Now, these Canadians, you know, I thought they were a bunch of peaceniks and
yeah.
Had a low murder rate. But, you know, it's just like it's kind of strange because there's a lot of, you know, there needs to be some explanations to some of these states that have the most relaxed gun laws have the lowest murder rates.
Uh-huh.
Especially, you know, look at the Northwest, for instance. Iowa has a pretty low murder rates. Missouri, you guys are, you know, you're up there, but in the same.
Well, we have St. Louis and Kansas City too. Yeah.
Texas, Missouri actually has a higher murder rate per 100,000 people than Texas does.
Yep.
Alaska's pretty, you know, they're up there, but I think it's just because it gets dark, you know, 24 hours a day. People go crazy.
Depression.
But anyway, yeah, you know, it's I find that interesting. So, you know, I would love to, that's probably a post I want to do in the future, is just to kind of look at, compare state rates compared to some other, you know, European nations and UK murder rates too. Because I don't think it's as bad as people think it is.
You know, that's one thing that I always pointed out when I was an Iowa girl. I still consider myself an Iowa girl. You know, Iowa does have some fairly lax gun laws. I believe the gun murder rate, per those same FBI statistics that I'm referring to, I believe it was 28 in 2015. Yeah. You know, and that's, no gun signs do not carry the force of law. In Iowa, it's a shall issue state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, as far as gun laws go in the country, it's pretty lax.
Yeah.
Which points to what I always say, is that we don't have a gun problem. We've got a heart and soul problem.
Right.
We have a morality problem. You know, society as a whole has become more self-entitled, less involved in their community, more accepting of deviant behavior. You know, people will live in the same house, you know, for a decade and not talk to their neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, so you get the people on the fringe of that. And, you know, you end up with the Vegases, the Texases, the Californias.
Right. Right. Well, you get some folks in Grinnell that are planning to try to be, you know, I guess, neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're planning on protesting outside of out of Brownells, but they're organizing a 26 days of action to call for legislative gun control change.
Yeah. And again, I understand. I get it. The shootings committed by evil and crazy people over the last few months are heartbreaking. But it looks to me like the gun control advocates in Grinnell have a disingenuous agenda.
Yeah, well, they signed a letter to Pete Brownell.
Exactly.
Well, he's the president of NRA, but
uh-huh.
also, you know, CEO of Brownells, which is the largest gun parts manufacturer in the United States. I didn't know that, actually. I passed by whenever I drive an I-80, I pass by Brownells, but I didn't. I knew it was a gun store in there too, but I didn't realize they were actually gun parts manufacturers. But I'm just like, well, what do you expect? You know, you're wanting him to do what? You know,
exactly. You know.
Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. I'm just gonna chuck my livelihood. You know, go find something else to do. Maybe I'll go plant some trees. I mean, you know, I was trying to figure out what their goal is for sending him a letter.
Well, that's exactly my point. That's why I think it's a disingenuous agenda. They want to have a conversation. You know, yet they're only targeting one of their neighbors, and that happens to be Pete Brownell for that conversation. Why haven't they, you know, invited their pro Second Amendment neighbors, the average Joe that works as an electrician or whatever, you know, to speak at one of their 26 day long events.
Yeah.
You know, the press information on their event doesn't give any indication as to what they want the legislation to look like.
Right.
We're back to what does something mean?
No yeah. more, just no more thoughts and prayers. Well,
yeah.
I think thoughts are kind of worthless. So that's my theological perspective, you know.
The thoughts and prayers are awesome.
Yeah, prayers are awesome. Thoughts are like, okay, warm fuzzies, I guess. But you know, thinking inside your head doesn't really do a whole lot. I think praying to God does something. But you know, anyway, that's my theological position. But the whole idea is like, well, of course we're gonna pray because. You mentioned earlier, this is a heart issue. I mean, the ultimate cause of murder is sin.
Exactly.
You know, and
yeah.
Until you deal with that, you're never going to get a handle on the violence. Until we, you know, build up a culture of life, which is an entirely different podcast topic, but, you know, we're going to
continue really to not, see this though. Problem.
Well, it's true.
Know, Yeah, it's really not because, every time these shootings happen, we want to ignore that, that aspect of it, when really that's where the solution lays. You can't legislate the crazy out of somebody.
Yeah.
There is no law that will legislate the evil out of someone. It's rebuilding society as a whole.
Right. Right.
The way we think, the way we treat each other.
Definitely. So go get to know your neighbors, folks.
Exactly.
All right.
And that's what these folks, excuse me, in Grinnell need to do too. If
Yep.
they want to have a conversation on firearms law, they have to be willing to sit down and talk to their opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something we need more of in this country. More civility, more not talking past each other, not, existing in silos, but actually getting to know people who hold a different perspective and point of view. Well, hey, Pat, this has been fun. We're at about half an hour, so
Oh, wow.
yeah, time flies when you're having fun. So
Yeah, it
I'll
does.
let you go because I know you're busy. I got a few things to do as well. So I thank you for your time. It's been a good conversation. We'll have to have you back on sometime.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Hey, take care.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes today's podcast. If you're listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. That is caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or Google caffeinated thoughts and it'll come up at the top of the search page. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or sign up for our daily or weekly emails. We want to stay connected with you. Until next time, my friends, happy Thanksgiving. Take care.